Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. Back in our old stomping grounds, Benji, I don't know where the rat thing is though. That maybe has been evicted, not paid its rent. It's off camera if you're watching on YouTube. I'm back GC. Happy to be back. And this is for the Lombardia preview, presented as always by Zwift, the last major race of the year. I thought Langkawi was going to be exciting. We were all geared up for daily recaps, but the relegation battle kind of rends that null and void with Lotto and Israel already having given up the ghost. So sorry to Langkawi. Maybe if Lotto fly back, but I think that's very unlikely. But anyway, Lombardia. Pogacar, the winner last year ahead of Fausto Masnada when Alaphilippe let Masnada bridge across to him. We have no world champ Remco, which is a little bit of a shame, but understandable. We have hit by a car Shackman last year back. It's Nibali's last dance, former winner of the race. Adam Yates has looked good. Vingegaard, I think, is on the provisional but not confirmed start list. He's doing it, though. Otherwise, why would he have done Crow Race? So it's a fine field for Lombardia. It's, you know, at the tail end of the year, Bardet, et cetera. The route, though, is a little bit different. The headline numbers, 253Ks finishing in Como, leaving from Bergamo, know this region of the world pretty well, but not the actual roads. 4,800 meters of elevation, 200 more than last year, 1,000 nearly more than the route in 2020. But Benji's got more of the details of this course, which is steeper, but sort of more frequent, but less length to the climbs in this course.
Yeah, basically. I think it kind of, you kind of have to look at the previous Lombardias to get an understanding of what this parkour is like. In 2020, we had the parkour also from Bergamo to Como. In 2021, we changed from Como to Bergamo. And that's last year, we had a much more mountainous parkour. But this year, we returned to that 2020 parkour, a parkour that had the Madonna del Ghisallo with about, 50 kilometers to go. Muro di Sormano climb just after that. The technical descent that had Nibali going full on, and Remco ended up over that ravine and so forth. That all happened in the 2020 edition. And then it was kind of a tune-up towards an X-Climb Siviglio, which was in the last 10 kilometers, which is 4 kilometers, 10%. And then we had San Fermo di Battaglia. Now, the 2022 parkour is slightly different. They took out the sketchy descent that Remco crashed on. I'm not sure if that's a specific reason that they took it out, but they took out the entire Muro di Sormano climb. Okay, that's a specific reason, most likely. Well,
but it's still in the Gran Fondo, apparently. So if you're an amateur, you can fuck yourself up on it, no worries.
That's actually really bad, but the look of that, at least. Anyway, that makes a more intriguing parkour. Going over it, the first half is just more hilly than the 2020 version, and when it comes to the second half, indeed, Madonna del Ghisallo is still there with about 50-60 kilometers to go, but we don't have that Muro di Sormano climb and that sketchy descent afterwards. And then it's a good 20, 25 kilometers until we start San Fermo di Battaglia, the climb that is normally the last climb in this race, before we go to Siviglio, which is at 4 kilometers at 10%. And then we go back to San Fermo di Battaglia. That's a smaller climb before we go to the line. So I'd say from the second that we hit the first of these San Fermo di Battaglias, it's up and down until the finish line. I think that's a fair assumption here. But based on these changes, the first thing that comes to mind for me is, the action is most likely going to wait until Siviglio, right?
Yes, in theory it would, right? But then if you have Roglic, yeah, maybe. But then I look at the team construction And you look at Pogacar, who won Trevisan-Vallisne in a sprint last night, beating Valverde and Iguita fairly comfortably. He lit it up early out of the corner. He won the Montreal sprint easily. That had the same sort of accumulated climbing. This is a lot of climbing up and down, with, as Benji said, little flat in the last 35 kilometers, and even after the Gisalo descent, you know, you can stay away there. If this was a Grand Tour stage 20, Benji, what would we be saying? We'd be saying get riders up the road early. That's the perfect parkour for it. You have valleys where teammates can help. And I think with the way UAE tried to control Giro dell'Emilia, which has shorter climbs than this, the San Luca climb, Ayuso's in. Mike is in, though he might have been at Emilia, but I don't think Ayuso was. I don't know his condition. I know I saw him on a steel bike doing the Eroica 2 days ago. I would try and put UAE under pressure and make them make difficult decisions, because the very, very obvious result of this race is Pogacar in a small group of three or four descent, and Pogacar wins the sprint, because Valverde, tactics-wise, like, good luck when he's a director. He still doesn't know when to launch his sprint, and he doesn't have the sprint to sort of cover up for those tactical mistakes anymore. And I look at the teams, like Movistar, for example. Aaron Barru could go early with Jorgensen. They have Mas, who he's not – Mas is not going to – maybe he'll prove me wrong – distance anyone, I don't think, on San Fermo. The climb is not that hard. 2.8K is 6.7%, but the Chiviglio, I would launch Mas there, maybe. Yeah. But then for Jumbo-Visma with Vingegaard, who his flat sprint against Pogacar is not as good, Omen, Foss, Hesink, I just think teams need to be much more open and aggressive. I doubt they will, to answer you. So that's a very long way of saying, yeah, probably the action will be Chiviglio, but I don't think it should be if I was, one of these other teams.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think they need to put pressure on UAE, who have used these similar tactics in the last few races they did. Looking at the favorites, Pogacar is indeed the one for me as well, just like you mentioned. His preparation was second at Emilia after Mas. Mas dropped him on that climb in Emilia, San Luca climb, 1.8 kilometers at 9.4%. They did it five times, and he put Pogacar under pressure. Mas put Pogacar under pressure already on the second last one, and he cracked him on the final one. Now, 1.8 kilometers at 9.4% is half of what the Chiviglio is. Chiviglio is 4 kilometers at 10%. So that's a harder climb, the Chiviglio. And the question there is, if Mas can make the difference on a Chiviglio, which based on Emilia he can, then can he hold it in the technical descent that comes afterwards? Because that descent of the Chiviglio is essential. We've seen Nibali destroy that descent in the year he won. One of the best descents I've ever seen him alive in cycling. You got to look it up if you haven't seen it. Amazing descent. And I feel like when it comes to Mas descending, it hasn't been amazing this year. It's gotten better, though, compared to the Tour de France and so forth, where it was actually terrible. But is it on the level where he can sustain a, let's say he gets a 15-second gap at the top of Chiviglio? Can he sustain that on Pogacar in the descent?
No, because Pogacar's much heavier. His recovery on these false flat sections or the lower slopes of San Fermo, I think it's going to be really tough for Mas. I mean, it's another thing to follow someone on a descent. It's another thing to maintain a gap when you're setting your own lines. So he was okay, still nearly crashed following Pogacar and Emilia. They got caught though very easily by other guys who were way behind them. And the question is, should Pogacar go on Chiviglio, Benji? Because his descending also, to be honest, it's not the best in the world. Is that the best way for him to win this race, putting pressure on the Chiviglio, or is it up to other people? Like, who can beat him in a sprint that's here? It's probably Yegeet is the main one I'm looking at. How will he go at the back end of a longer race? Will it actually be a group of 8 or 10 guys on the Chivilio, and it'll be Nibali attacking on the descent with some other riders like Mikel Landa? Landa's a top-tier descender. I don't think Moritz can survive that long. Vingegaard's a better technical descender than Pogacar or Mas. I know it's crow race, and they barely did any long climbs, so it's like impossible to know Vingegaard's true condition for a monument, but I have a hard time seeing him being dropped on the Chivilio. He's not won one-day races like this before, but he's a different rider now from 18 months ago, obviously, after the Tour. His descending's good. Can he beat a Mas in a sprint? Yes, he can. I don't know. I've kind of argued against myself with what I thought would happen. But, yeah, there's so many teams who don't have a chance head-to-head against Pog, who I think you should be trying to put UAE under pressure earlier. I'm looking at you, Bahrain, DSM, Trek Segafredo, who have a former winner in Malcolm Mollema, Arkea with Barguil. There's another rider I wanted to mention who's gone out of my mind. Vlasov was who that was. What do you think, Bora do, Benji? Strong team on paper. Groschartner's fine. Agita good at Trevelle Varesine. Hindley, we're back in Italy. Longer climbs. Vlasov podiumed this race before in 2020. I know it was different. Are they the team you think should be adopting my strategy? Because head-to-head on the Chivilio, if they just wait till the Chivilio, don't they 90% of them all just get dropped and then one hangs on, best case?
Well, we don't know what Shackman's form is like. We don't have a run into this race from him. We don't have a preparation for him, so we don't really know what he's like. So it's difficult to judge what he can do. But I think on the Chivilio itself, he should drop. Like, on paper, he can't follow the pace of a Pogacar and a Vingegaard on the Chivilio, and it's pretty long enough to drop a Mark Shackman. When it comes to Vlasov, I was low-key disappointed in him when it comes to Emilia. He made the group in Trevali, but he ended up not being able to sprint at the end, which I was also expecting him to be able to do. He was second last in that group, and usually his kick this year was pretty on point. So, I don't know, slightly disappointed in that aspect. Higuita was the one, like you mentioned, where he's the one that can compete with a Pogacar in a group sprint, but I would still not put him on the same level. So, if I'm them, I try to figure out a way to get ahead of that and adapt a strategy that indeed can put UAE under pressure beforehand, and perhaps try and make it a sprint between Ayuso and Higuita in a group ahead or something. Like, create a situation like that where Pog is in the group behind and they send Ayuso to follow an attack of Higuita or something. But those are like very specific things that you need to pull off as an opposing team that is difficult to make happen. And next to that, does the parkour even allow that? Because on one end, yes, the Chivilio is a climb that on paper is the one where you're thinking, okay, this is where it's going to happen. Is the San Fermo di Battaglia beforehand good enough to send a rider that is not the best climber up the road? Or will UAE already be pacing like they did in all the Italian classics so far? Will UAE already make sure that it all sticks together until that Civilio so that they can launch Pogacar or keep it together for Pogacar like they did at Trevali, for example? Like, I see UAE just neutralizing it from that second last San Fermo before Civilio until the top of Civilio and try and do stuff with Pogacar at that point. Ayuso as co-leader most likely, perhaps fall into a domestique role if necessary. But I think UAE is going to close it down there, and then we need to think, can these other teams do it earlier on Madonna del Ghisalo? And that's just too early, and the climb is not great, in my opinion, to attack from that early on. Or do you expect early attacks on Madonna del Ghisalo that might pressure UAE into pacing their domestiques before we get to San Fermo? That's early, right?
I mean, their team is so strong. Ayuso, Formula Almeida, Hirschi, Maika, Ulisi. Like, we'd be expecting Hirschi, say nothing happens on Ghisalo. Like, who's going to pace on that climb? Who's going to? I think it would have to be a Bahrain or Ineos. sort of team. Sharkman, I misspoke. He, I think, has ended his season based on his Instagram, so I'm not sure he will be starting because he was unwell this year. But regardless, Vlasov Vigita, I think, will still be doing it. Before I get to Ineos, though, I will mention our show partner, Zwift. The Zwift Hub has launched an immediately popular, the new affordably priced indoor trainer from Zwift, who are breaking down the barriers to indoor training, making the trainer cheaper and easier to set up than any other on the market in this price range. It's sold out in Europe for the time being. If you're in the UK or America, I think you still might have a chance. No promises, though, once this is posted. But make sure you go to Zwift or follow them on Instagram to stay tuned with updates on the trainer or indeed the Zwift platform. And if you want a free trial for 7 days, you can head to Zwift.com through the link down below. Ineos is another one of these teams where... Actually, Danny Martinez is one guy who sneaky could beat Pog in a sprint. He won a sprint in the Basque Country this year, like a legit sprint against Alaphilippe, Ulisse, Roglic, and Bilbao. But his form has been kind of up. Oh, Bilbao's not doing this race either. Yeah. What the hell? What the fuck? I know I'm zigzagging. But I'll get to Bahrain in a second. Sorry. Ineos have got cards to play. Yates, Gegenhardt, Martinez, even Rivera looked okay at Crow Race. It says Rodriguez and Sivakov are doing it. They're a team where I think you got to send Gegenhardt or someone on Gisalo. Like, if you just help UAE control the race at that point, like what's and I think San Fermo's the one before Chivilio. I think that's too late. What gap are they going to get? Like 10 seconds. He or she will go to the front, or Ulisse, or Formolo, or Almeida. They'll hold the gap at 10 seconds, and that'll evaporate on Chivilio. So, or do you just trust Adam Yates? Can Adam Yates straight up drop Pog with Mas, with Vingegaard on Chivilio? Are we overrating Pog's climbing? We haven't seen him do a climb like this since the tour, right?
Well, the disappointing part for me when it comes to Yates is that he was just not there at Emilia. Like, if we look at the likes of Montreal, he was the strongest climber in the race, Yates. He was about to drop Pogacar if the climb was like 2 kilometers longer or a kilometer longer. Pogacar was struggling in the wheel of Yates there. And when we look at this parkour on paper, that climb is now longer, but I also have the feeling that Pogacar is gradually growing in terms of strength in these last 2 weeks in similar form that he did last year, for example. 2 weeks before, in Trevale, I'm pretty sure he was not at his best because he was nowhere when the Marquee won that race. And then eventually, he moved towards Lombardia and was the strongest in the race. And now we see this year that his preparation was not perfect either, but does that say that Pogacar is therefore also weaker at Lombardia? I don't know. He can be back at level by the time we reach Lombardia this weekend. And with that in mind, I am not necessarily expecting Adam Yates to straight up drop Pogacar on Sevilla, but I might end up being wrong. Also because I think UAE is going to have enough riders at the foot of Sevilla that it's not a one-to-one battle from the start. So by the time it's a one-to-one battle, I think we're halfway to climb. Then he needs to hold on for 2 kilometers. And that goes for a lot of riders, though. Like Vincenzo Nibali, obviously, I'm going to put him in this discussion because he's my favorite rider and it's his last race of his career. So I'm going to cry on Saturday. Anyway, on Sevilla, like, is he going to be able to follow the excruciating tempo of Vingegaard and Pogacar? And if he can't, is there an ability to come back in the descent, or will he be able to attack in a descent and benefit from that? Is there a chance for you that Nibali wins his last race of his career, or do you think that Valverde has more chance to win his last race in his career?
I think Bala has more chance given how he's actually looked. I mean, just because it's the way for Nibali to win is more difficult with his lack of sprint. Bala can still theoretically win. Like he's come second in Copa Agostini, fourth in Giro d'Italia, third in Tre Valle Verasina. But to be honest, in none of them was he really close to the win, despite those really good results. Crazy amount of points, though, like back end of the year. Him and Mas, 42, mental. Nibali has to get away on the Chivilio descent and hold it and hope this group two dynamics. I don't really see another, because like San Fermo, yeah, it's going to be tough for him. But I'd love to see it. I think he'll try regardless. EF haven't announced yet. I'll assume they have Piccolo, Paulus, Guerrero, Cepeda, and Uran. I think they have quite a nice team. Uran will also be hoping for some games on Chivilio maybe and a softer tempo on which he can attack on the descent, because obviously he bridged across on the Emilia descent the other day to Pogačar and Mas, for example. Quick step. Alaphilippe, Bagioli, David Ayens, Honoré, Seri, Van Wilde, Vavarka. Alaphilippe no good in the Italian semi-classics to date. His form unknown. Bagioli came third in Montreal and I think deserves co-leadership. I don't know where Masnada is. I know it's still... Is he sick as well?
Don't remember.
Second last year.
I haven't seen him since Vuelta a España, and I haven't seen an update from him, so I can't tell you. But on paper, he's not on the start list right now, so I'm guessing that they're not having him race. And if that's the case, then, like, an Alaphilippe on paper, Chivilio is too difficult for him in this form. Because I haven't seen the form necessary to survive Chivilio in that sense. But on paper, it is the parkour that is the most viable Lombardia in years for an Alaphilippe to survive, but peak Alaphilippe can win this race. Non-peak Alaphilippe, like we've seen recently, can't for me.
Nah, because even in Basque country, like we've not seen, forgive me if I'm wrong, if I've missed something, and I know his shape was coming really good in the Vuelta before Worlds, and maybe Worlds he could have done something, but I'm not so sure. Like, even in the races, he's won two races this year, Basque Country stage and a Wallonie stage. I didn't see the Wallonie one. It was like half Myrtle, I think, a Dot Pro stage.
Yeah,
Basque
Country.
Yeah, well, okay, that I was about to say not a great win, but must be. his sprint's not looked as good. There was a couple of Basque Country stages where Remco gave him quite a good lead out and he didn't finish it. And we're talking sprints against, you know, not great guys. He won one and then he lost the one the next day, I think, to Bilbao, which he really should have won and barely beat Vlasov. And then the climbing, in the Vuelta, he was going really, really well. So, but he's just not looked as sharp as 2019. And I was looking at his climbing numbers because 2019 Tour de France, like, it's a different era in terms of the climbing of the guys who eventually won. Compared to now, they're climbing way quicker now. But Alaphilippe was climbing way quicker then. Like, he was still flying to hold yellow like crazy, and we haven't really seen that. And usually, like last year, Benji, he fooled me at least not just once, a couple of times. But
yeah,
Tour of Britain before Worlds, he was still competitive against Wout. He was coming second, third, you know, and Britannia Classic second, San Sebastian sixth. Before the Tour de France, he was still, like, competitive in Tour de Suisse sprints. Here he's 80th. He's literally not in the picture in these Italian races. So, yeah, I think it's Bagioli time if he has the legs. Is there any real dark horses before we give our picks, Benji, that you think, like a Roman Bardet or Mikel Landa, I kind of quite like, or Tess Fatsion, or David Gaudu, or even, I know, Stora looked good the other day, or Pozzo Vivo, any dark horses?
The thing when it comes to Pozzo Vivo is we've seen him compete in these Italian classics and be one of the stronger climbers in them, but I just don't see him winning. That's just the case. I don't see Pozzo Vivo winning this race. It would be hilarious and great if he does. Like, I'd be down to see it. I won't complain. I don't think his contract has been renewed for next year. I think he's still on that one-year contract at Intermarché, but I believe with the results he had so far, fifth at Agostoni, third at Emilia, eighth at Varesine, he should get a new contract next year if he wants to. If he wants to, that's the factor that matters, because we don't know if he wants to silently retire suddenly. I hope he does not, because it's fun to see him. Now, next to that, Godu, he's one of those riders. When I saw this parkour, I was like, Godu's an outsider for this, because he's got that punch. He can get surprised in a bit of a group sprint at the end, and he can get over these climbs on paper, but his Dalian Classics haven't poor, straight up poor. So I don't see it either. Amadou wasn't that team. Civilio might be too hard. He's the rider that I always say he can top 10 every single monument in the world. He's done it with a RVV this year. I straight up think that this parkour could work for him for a top 10, but I don't see him competing for the victory itself. Also, once again, I would love to see it. But you mentioned it earlier, Peo Bilbao is not on this list, but if he was, like, he'd be my, like, dark horse for this race, yeah. All right?
Because he climbs well enough, and his descending's the best in the world. Like, and he's got a strong team around him. I don't understand. I'm going with Fortunato top 7. I think he will be more like, okay, it's different to Emilia. It's longer, but the longer climbs, the steeper, should be better for him. So I'm getting in ahead of Benji with that one.
Next to that, we also want to add, let's say he doesn't come 7th. He'll still be more on TV than the winner.
Yeah, unless the winner is, I don't know, I think, is he so popular in Italy? Surely Nibali, they'd give a little bit of TV too. it's just odd. Like, the form lines, it's one of the most difficult races I find to preview, because the form lines are, like, some guys have, frankly, let's be honest, they've thrown in the towel. Like, they're turning up because they got to fill in the numbers and because they're obliged to, but this has not been a target for them. We're in October. Other riders, maybe quietly in the background, have been preparing very, very seriously, and actually their 10, 15-minute power is close to their peak levels, and that could be Vingegaard. I don't know with Vingegaard, because Crow Race, we didn't see his punch look good, but his Cervilio, like how that goes, I've already said, I don't know. One guy who's not, like, this is, sorry, I'll cut to the chase, what I think will happen. I think Pogacar gets dropped by a group on Cervilio. I think Mas, a Yates or Martinez, and who else do I like? Vingegaard or Hindley. I'm not sure if Hindley's looking any good. Who knows? I think they drop him on Cervilio and they have to work together. Now, can they keep him behind? That's difficult. It has to be properly dropped and then they have to cooperate. That's the big if, but you'd think they would if you drop Pog. So I think that's what happens. And I think they are, I don't know. What happened with Pog? He just attacked him last year. I'm trying to think, what happens when Pog gets dropped? Does he come back? Because it so rarely happens that I think he comes back and wins the sprint, actually. Because in Liège, he was kind of half dropping the year he won, right? Like, he wasn't the best puncher or climber, but he's not going to lose 45 seconds, I don't think. So I think Pog wins a sprint, but I think he won't be the best pure climber in the race.
Okay. When it comes to Pogacar, when it comes to my flow of the race, before I get it done, I just want to shout out Molar for a top 10. That's going to happen. I can feel it. But the flow of the race, I think my non-biased take is that Pogacar wins this race. And he could do it by dropping and returning, but he could also just hold on and end up winning a group sprint afterwards. But my bias take is that Nibali benefits from the group on Sevilla kind of looking at each other at certain points and gets a bit of a gap and goes into the descent and wins this race, okay? It's happening. The shark is coming. And if he does, then I'm going to get my shark onesie out when the podcast happens.
I mean, Nibali came 4th in the Giro. Like, a crazy result. If he has that form, I mean, the Trevali Varese, he's been fine in the other two races he's done tuning up to this.
He got a gap in Trevali. 800 meters, he was gone for a bit.
Like, he's not a joke. He's a serious threat for this race, and I don't think they should take him attacking on a descent or anywhere lightly, frankly, because he's in fine form. He might even be the same level as before. Everyone else has just improved. And thinking about it, if Pog gets over Chivilio and there's no Agüita, I have a tough time seeing or thinking how he loses the sprint. And the benefit of being... Pardon?
Can they roll attacks on him after Chivilio?
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, Wout van Aert never gets the benefit of the doubt, right? And Pogacar, who keeps winning reduced group sprints, seems to... Like, maybe this will be the tipping point where guys are like... Say, let's imagine, after Chivilio, we have a group of Nibali, Yates, Godu. I'm trying to think of another rider that I liked. Vingegaard. And a Bora rider or someone else like that. Or Mass. Surely they roll attacks on him. But the problem is, if there's not two teammates, say Enric Mass attacks or Vingegaard attacks, he gets brought back by Adam Yates and it's just everyone attacking each other. Like if you watch Crow Race the other day, you need two teammates to really make that work. So should guys go to the sprint with Pog? Should they treat him like they would a Wout van Aert? Yes, unless you're maybe David Goudou, you can trust yourself a little bit. But otherwise, I think they'll just mess each other up, even if they do attack.
I think the key when it comes to those rolling attacks is that the people that are with Pogacar don't necessarily respond instantly to the other moves. Let's say that a Valverde attacks on the left side of the road. Pogacar's the one that
never
needs to chase it.
Ever.
Yeah, I know. But okay, someone else. Let's say Maz attacks on the left side of the road. Exactly. Mass attacks on the left side of the road. Pogacar's the one that needs to respond, and he doesn't instantly close it. If the gap becomes a tiny bit larger than the initial gap that existed, that's when someone else can bridge towards Pogacar. But if they do it instantly, then they're basically bringing Pogacar back. So I think there's some nuance in when they need to respond to other moves than Pogacar in the rolling attack. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I feel like Vingegaard impressed me at Crow Race when he was getting, I know it's a different sort of level, but he was getting attacked over and over and over and over by two teammates. I feel like Vingegaard's going to go clear on San Fermo and it's going to be somehow he'll win a sprint against Mass. But yeah, it's hard to go away from Pog. I don't know what the odds are, but should Pog go back to it? I'm going with Vingegaard. I didn't pick him for the tour. I think Pog was put under pressure on Chivilio. He comes back. He's a threat for the sprint, but the kilojoules in the legs when they're attacking him later eventually put paid to him, and Vingegaard somehow wins a weird sprint against Mass.
Okay, so you say Vingegaard. I say Nibali, despite us both saying that Pogacar is the likely winner of this race.
Pogacar should be the favorite.
Yes, okay. Yeah. But and next to that, I think you're slightly potentially underrating Mohoric? Or do you think he's absolutely gone?
No. He was getting dropped by Vingegaard on like a 600-meter, 6%
finish on 2
pinch.
Seconds.
Yeah, but mate, Crow Race, you're getting dropped on 600-meter, 6% pinch, like 2 seconds in front of Jonathan Milan. Like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
this is serious race. You're right. With serious climbing.
Oh, okay. That's
you're underrating Landa. I think Landa, you never know his form. Has he done a race?
Oh, he's an NPC.
Landa?
He's an NPC at this race. I don't believe it.
He beat Nibali in the Giro, but he hasn't done a race since the Vuelta. So that's the sort of one. He could literally have been on his couch. He could be on the, you know, Christmas program, or he could have been preparing for this race. I don't know. I think it's unlikely that he's in top shape. But yeah, that's our picks for Lombardia. It's a pretty open race. Everyone looking at Pog, UAE to control. I hope it's an open race. I hope teams try and put UAE and Pog under pressure, particularly if they have multiple leaders. And before we round off, have we disrespected Ayuso Benji, the man who came third at the Vuelta, looked really good in the third week, won Sekira Degecho, and yeah, have we, or we just don't know his form?
It's simple. We don't know his form. We don't know what he's going to look like going into this race, so we can't judge it. On paper, he can compete for this race. Yes, he can win this race in a certain way. Yes, there's a situation where he just drops instantly because he's not in form. We don't know. So that's the take here.
But Bog should lead him out.
Get out
of
here.
He's faster sprinter. Ayuso sprint is so fast.
I know, but I'm not sure I'd say... I'm not sure I'm 100% certain that it's fast. I think it's close. We need a 1v1 sprint. It needs to happen. Like with Leon next year.
If they're in the group, it might happen. Like in Liguellia. I'll be a happy man if this race is the Liguellia repeat, except it's Pog now instead of Polance and Covey that are you so shouting at to lead him out. If we see that, that'll be so good.
Technically, the situation is that Pog and Ayuso were sprinting against each other in the group, and another rider from UAE comes from behind, Almeida.
Almeida. Yeah. Well, I mean, he was good in Emilia last year, and he seemed to have gone off the boil a little bit. I don't know. It's all the pressure on UAE, I think, with the returning winner. I'm keen to see their tactics. I think it'll be pretty straightforward, but Ayuso is, yeah, sort of a loose cannon and a personal favorite of mine. But anyway, that's the Lombardia preview. We'll have the recap on Saturday. Of course, the Italian one days are always on a Saturday, not a Sunday. Sunday's for Mass. And we'll see you, Saturday might be for Mass too. We'll see you with the recap on Saturday. Until then, ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.